as I point out in the book, in this oil price manipulation scheme, it's really the question becomes who in the government does this. What I note in the book is that it was the National Security Council in the 80s that did it. Now there is what's called the President's Working Group on Financial Markets, the so-called Plunge Protection Team. It's headed by the Secretary of the Treasury, got the head of the SEC, Commodity Futures Trading Commission, Federal Reserve New York. On an ad hoc basis, it's also got the heads of the NYMEX, the New York Stock Exchange, the Amex. To my way of thinking, it's this group now, which is really the economic warfare equivalent of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. These guys call the shots, and they command significant amounts of forces in the form of basically government slush funds, mainly managed by the New York Federal Reserve, which is sure. Why it's interesting to me that Obama's picked Tim Geithner to come in as his Treasury Secretary. Geithner's been running the New York Fed. I mean, he's been a point man on a lot of this stuff.
They're all the same, James.
It's a team. Yep.
And it's been a team for a long time. I had an astrologer on who deals with financial and global politics. And he said last night, he said, nothing's changed. These are the same folks that have been around for 40 years. And they just keep plodding along.
Well, yeah, I think that because it is a national security elite, there's really a limited pool of people to draw from for these jobs. That's why you keep seeing Leon Panetta's name showing
no,
up.
No intelligence experience, and he's running the CIA soon.
Well, you see, you don't know what role he's had in intelligence matters in years past. I mean, he's had various titles, never overtly with the CIA, but, I mean, when he was in the Clinton White House, he was certainly had high-level security clearances. I mean, my working hypothesis is the people who really call the shots on these things are not the ones that you see on TV or who become household names. I mean, it's a deep bureaucracy of people and talent there, I guess you'd call it talent, that go on doing this stuff.
I get into a massive argument on this show with a guest, Matt Sevenar, who is a believer in peak oil. He says, we've peaked, it's coming down, and this planet is running out of oil. I, on the other hand, I'm a believer of the abiotic oil theory, James. I believe this planet produces it. In abundance. I do not believe on the simple fossil fuel theory. There's just way too much oil on this planet to believe that. I don't think this planet will run out of oil in our lifetime.
Right, I think you're right. We're going to run out of demand long before we run out of oil. But you have to think of this peak oil mantra, again, as part of this economic warfare effort.
He believes this.
A lot of people believe it. And the proponents of it, I'm sure they believe it themselves, but nevertheless, this whole peak oil thing has been used as a propaganda bludgeon to try and it's a necessary. You know, as Churchill said, that in times of war, truth can only go anywhere protected with a bodyguard of lies. Well, peak oil is one of these lies, and it's basically, in order to get the price up and keep it up, you've got to convince the world we're running out of oil. And so
absolutely,
this peak oil thing, this theory's been around for decades, but they drag this out and dust it off and embellish it. What's interesting, though, is that one of the key proponents of this is Matt Simmons, who's an investment banker down in Houston. I know Matt. In fact, I wrote one of the first stories about him at Business Week when I was in Houston in the 80s. At that time, he was preaching exactly the opposite gospel, saying oil prices will never recover. They'll always be low. And by the way, you better hire my firm to merge your oil field service companies together to save your money. So, I mean, he may be completely sincere. Unfortunately, he's inherently conflicted in some of this stuff, and he's changed his tune. He says he had a great epiphany in the early 90s, noting that the Saudis were going to run out of oil. Well, in fact, none of these predictions have been true. The Saudis still have plenty of oil on the ground. They just announced three new discoveries today. They have ample unused production capacity. The Saudis are not about to run out of oil. There's lots more oil being found. I'm actually on your side on the abiotic oil thing. I think the Earth's core, it's always churning, it's grinding, it's basically generating all kinds of hydrogen, helium, carbon dioxide, gases that are venting to the surface. And as those gases come to the surface, they combine with carbon, you get hydrocarbons. You bake them into long chains, you get petroleum. And that's why they're finding this stuff at depths far below sedimentary deposits, you know, in rock that's, you know, 18,000 feet deep and more. That didn't get there from dinosaurs.
No, especially also the oil that they would find on the bed of the ocean floor deep within that. I mean, my gosh, how did that get there?
Right. See, I think the Earth's crust is loaded with hydrocarbons. What you had with this price run up, there's been a resurgence of drilling. We've been finding a lot more of this stuff. Now, here's a prediction I have. If I'm right, and we're basically moving into another low price scenario here, what you're going to see is a spate of new oil discovery announcements.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to see reserve revisions, companies reporting that,
upward,
oh yeah, we got
upward.
A lot more there than we thought.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And you're going to see the oil majors, who have been scrimping on the capital spending for the last 10 years, you're going to see them now move to a different posture where they're going to be spending much more of their cash flow, putting it back in the ground. They're going to keep their production up and probably increase it. And in fact, you know, the market has risen a bit on these hopes that OPEC is going to cut production. No, what happens in times like this, OPEC is prone to cheating. They love to cheat, and that's what happened in the 80s. That's partly when the Saudis started producing again, all of OPEC, they just went wild cheating. And you're probably going to see that again because all these governments, producing governments, they're desperate for cash. They'll have to produce more crude.